It's that half-world feeling again, Whittle said. The same as the day in the manor, when we were in two kinds of time at once.
It is just the same, and so we are.
But we're in the time of the smithy, Will said. We went through the doors.
So they had. He and Merriman, old George and the horse Pollux, out in the wet dark common when the wild hunt had driven the dark away over the sky. They had gone through the doors into the time 6 centuries earlier from which Hawken had once come, and into which Will had walked on that still snowy morning of his birthday. They had brought Hawken back to his century for the last time, born on Pollux's back, when they were all come through the doors. Old George had taken the horse away, bearing Hawken's body in the direction of the church. And Will knew that in his own time, somewhere in the village churchyard, covered by either more recent burials or a stone crumbling into illegibility now, there would be the grave of a man named Hawken, who had died sometime in the 13th century, and lain there in peace ever since. Merriman drew him to the front of the smithy, where it faced the narrow, hard-earth track through Hunter's Combe, the old way. "Listen," he said. Will looked at the bumpy track, the dense trees on the other side, the cold grey strip of almost morning sun.
"I can hear the river," he said, puzzled.
"Ah," Merriman said.
"But the river's miles away, the other side of the common."
Merriman cocked his head to the rushing, rippling sound of the water. It had the sound of a river that is full but not in flood, a river running after much rain.
"What we are hearing," he said, "is not the Thames, but the sound of the 20th century. You see, Will, the signs must be joined by John Wayland Smith in this smithy, in this time. For not long after this, the smithy was destroyed. Yet the signs were not brought together until your quest, which has been within your own time. So the joining must be done in a bubble of time between the two, from which the eyes and ears of an old one may perceive both. That's not a real river we hear. It is the water running in your own time, down Honeycomb Lane, from the melting of the snow."
Will thought of the snow, and of his family beset by floods, and suddenly he was a small boy wanting very much to be at home. Merriman's dark eyes looked at him compassionately.
"Not long," he said.